that drive. Phil Lane crosses up. Van Vliet, okie doke move, and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the left side. No good. But she's going to get her own rebound. Kicks it out. Katie Sykes for three. No, it's good. She got it. Katie Sykes for three.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Happy Thursday, birds. Welcome into this edition of the Red Zone here on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. I'm Mikey Frenelli alongside David Moses and Dane Dreyfus, my usual partners in this thing we call the Red Zone. Guys, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. A little nervous for tonight, but we'll get into that later for the pick six.
Oh, the pick six. He's already teasing that. And we're going to give it to you guys a little early tonight, actually. We're not going to do it right away. Don't hold your horses. We're going to talk about it in segment three, actually, because in segment four, we're going to have some live talk from CEFQ Arena as we get into some Redbird men's basketball. We're going to have the guys that ruined my pick six, Andy P and Jake Pearson. They're going to be calling the game tonight, and they're going to be out there on the call. So we're going to maybe talk to him. If I don't know, I might see if I'm still mad at them about pick six. So we'll see. How
why are they always together?
Those two love each other. They're awesome. They're best friends.
It's like me and Blake. We just have great calls together.
Yeah, man. Exactly. It's good chemistry.
You know what? Me and Berger Ferguson, which for those who know him as Braden Pogerson, would probably recognize us from the call that we had against Redbirds men's basketball when they opened the season against Western and didn't have that great of a game.
This is
honest.
A deep cut, but I feel like I do well with a lot of you guys. But my favorite like chemistry partner I had back in the day was when I first started calling games for ZND as a freshman. It was Jake Fogel. Demos, you know Jake Fogel. He was with us around that time.
Yeah. I think I had a call or two with him, and he, you know, like you said, all good reviews. He's been.
Yeah.
Really, what is he doing now?
He's at JBC. He does the like morning newscast. He does newscasts all day. Like
he was at the Turkey Bowl.
Yeah, he's doing great stuff. He does a lot of newscasts.
We do all encompass every sport, but yeah. I think we already talked about the Turkey Bowl, didn't we, and how I performed. Or did we?
I don't know if we did. I'm talking about how abysmally you bowled. You might have to share it with us.
Yeah. So my family does have bowling in its lineage. My grandfather was a bowler. My dad was a bowler. My sister is a national and state champion. I bowled a 40 in a game.
Oh. I'm not really one to talk, but.
Dang.
My grandfather's rolling over in his grave. So.
Dane. That is disappointing to hear. But it was for the Turkey Bowl, and it was for a good cause a couple weeks ago for the Illinois State Child Care Center. And I think ultimately the event went well, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I WZND had a good time. And Jake Pearson bowled worse than me. So
that's good to hear.
It's always great to hear. If you're not last, you're not the worst. So,
Redbird recap to start the show. We got off on a tangent. We always do. But it's always a good way to start. But with the Redbird recap, and I just want to talk specifically about Redbird volleyball. Dane and I both were there last night as the Birds ended their season with a 3-1 loss to Bradley. And Dane, what that energy in the stadium after it happened was just one of the saddest I've had to experience at CEFQ Arena so far in my career here.
The air was just sucked out.
Well, when you have three players, especially two seniors in Katie Weimerskirch and Sarah Kushner, who were leaders for three straight tournament appearances throughout three of the four, and then just have it go out in a loss that doesn't even qualify them for the tournament at all, for the conference tournament. They've won the conference 3 years in a row, and they don't even qualify for the tournament. It's just a tough way to go out.
I mean, and they still had something to play for, too. They could have played spoiler for Bradley, who qualified the tournament. And, you know, I had a chance to ask Katie Weimerskirch about her feelings on the rivalry with Bradley, and she had this to say.
Oh, it stings a little bit more right now because they are our rival, but they're always a fun team to play against. We always know it's going to be a battle every single year. Doesn't matter if you're the one seed and the other team's the bottom seed. Like both teams want to win that match more than any other match.
So overall, just a tough loss for the Birds, one that really stung, but I don't think that should erase any of the memories that were made with this group of girls. I mean, Kushner, Hillard, and Weimerskirch are all certified studs. They They accomplished so much as a team, as individuals, and they still put together a great season with a ton of adversity. And I really do look forward to what this team can bring to the table next year with Allie Matters.
You know, the foundation was set this year. I didn't expect this team to – I know we had had talks before the season started. You know, this team was picked to win MVC. We had some all MVC candidates on the roster, but it's a totally different team when you look at it, how everything is panning out right now. And honestly, I love what Coach Allie Matters has done, the foundation that she has left here so far, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen in the future.
You know, I was kind of shocked to see how emotional Coach Matters was to losing her three seniors that they only played a year with. So it just showed how much she cares, because she. I like a coach that brings some emotional fire to the table too. And she, you can see just the intensity in her eyes, especially playing Bradley. She was locked in, and this team, it was an intense game. It was probably the most physical volleyball game I've seen all year.
And you know, you talk about the emotions of head coach Allie Matters. It all goes back to the investment she has in her players. We've seen it on the court all season, how much passion and how they, you know, have had those late game comebacks to win. You know, she coaches with a fiery passion that just resonates throughout the whole roster. And it's going to only help improve this team as we go on to next year. And to see these players a little bit more seasoned in the game of, you know, college volleyball is going to be, you know, interesting to watch.
There was a question asked in the presser last night whether or not Coach Matters feels like she was dealt a bad deck of cards in her first season, having so many injuries and medical retirements on especially some of those upperclassmen leaders about midway through the season when it kind of became the turning point. And she said something along the lines of, I'd like to say no, but I can't, because she does admit that that was part of what stopped them this season. But they still did their best in an overall record of 12-17, had nice out-of-conference wins against Illinois, Cincinnati, a couple of other big ones. But just when it came to the Missouri Valley Conference, 5-13, couldn't get it done when it mattered, and then almost still snuck into the tournament, but had that tiebreaker with Missouri State that Missouri State won in the head-to-head matchup.
There's a couple players, though, that I am very excited to see in a Redbird uniform next year, though. Hannah Reichensperger looked legit in the front court. Emily Weber, I think, is gonna take over as the main setter for this team, and she has like a patented backward set over the net that's very deceptive. Love to see that. And then Reagan Haith as well. The youth on this team is very encouraging. It's just, and Coach Matters put it, she wanted a better season and a better finish for players like Kushner, Weimerskirch, and Hillard, who have put in so much into this program and had such long-lasting impact. That you just want to see them go out better. You want to see them go out in a win, especially against their rival, which I know makes it sting a little bit more, but they have nothing to hang their heads in, and they gave him a game, and I don't like Bradley. I don't like Bradley either.
But, you know, most coaches after a loss like that would tell you that they want you to feel this emotion that you're having because you want to realize that you don't ever want to have that emotion again. So you're going to do everything that you can to try and come back the next year stronger and better than ever, so that when we play Bradley again, it's going to be no contest.
I think Aerosmith puts it the best. You got to know how to lose to know how to win.
I think that's a good way to wrap up volleyball with the Aerosmith quote. You think you're going to have an Aerosmith quote when we talk about basketball? Give it some time to think about it.
There's got to be like a basketball.
Got to be something.
All that's in my head right now is the Replacements and Chick Stick Scars, Pain Heals, and Glory Lasts Forever. But our football season is long done.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's worth it at this point discussing football. We've talked football into the ground in weeks past. But let's talk about some Redbird basketball. They had a win against Northwestern State, 69-67, on Saturday, and they faced Northwestern State again tonight. We had a game there, and now they're coming to visit us. And in between, Northwestern State beat TCU. So all of a sudden, this now becomes a game where you can see if they are good as some of these other ranked opponents.
I'm still frustrated because I think they should be undefeated. That Western Illinois game was very, very winnable multiple times. Had the ball in their hands late. But Northwestern State, I mean, like, they've won games. And I believe against Eastern Illinois, the stat sheet was ugly. The field goal percentages were terrible. And you still come out with a win. That's pretty reassuring. But I also just liked watching the transfers play. Like, you have a good mix of incumbent players like Liam McChesney and Kendall Lewis. But I'm really, really excited for Malachi Poindexter. Seneca Knight, I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. And I'm really liking the talent that Coach Peden brought to the table.
What's really encouraging is that typically when you have so much turnover, you have a fresh new face at the head coach position, the fresh new faces on the team in general, you kind of expect the team to start off slow, but that's the complete opposite with this Redbird team. I've seen nothing but and heard nothing but hustle, effort, and rebounding. I've heard a lot of rebounding to go down with this men's basketball team, and you know it only leaves you to be exciting for the games to come.
So it's interesting that going forward after tonight's matchup here at Sefke Arena, you're going to see the Redbirds in the Cayman Islands Classic. I was talking to Bill Sellier today, who is the SID, Sports Information Director, for the Redbirds team. He said the whole team's excited to get out there to the beach and all of the above, but they also have some great matchups in this tournament coming up. This is something they do every year. And this year, Monday, they're going to see LSU. On Tuesday, they're going to see both Akron and Western Kentucky, and then possibly a third round there if they can keep winning. So that's just impressive to see them play some top teams there in the Cayman Islands Classic. We can make as many jokes as we want about if it proves anything, if they can beat a team that beat TCU. But what if you go beat LSU? All of a sudden, it becomes interesting.
I really don't take much away from these opening season tournaments. You just usually see the really good teams wrap them up with a pretty little bow. And like I see a lot of ranked teams losing these tournaments to like perennially good programs like Wisconsin. Even when they're supposed to be bad, they always mop up in these tournaments. You're seeing Michigan State take on Kentucky and Gonzaga. But when it comes down to brass tacks at the end of the year, I don't think either of those programs are going to be like up to snuff with some of the top tier ones. So I take these with a grain of salt. If you can sneak a win, get a little tourney championship, nothing wrong with that.
So what you're saying is during these opening in-season tournaments, the players may not take it as serious, or
I think it's more of a feeling out process of out of conference competition, because you usually don't play teams that are in conference, because the games that matter are your conference games. They come back December 1st and they go to Murray State and they play Murray State. Those are the teams where you really hammer out, like you really need to be perfect. So this is for hammering out the inconsistencies in your game, just being overall better. And it's funny enough that I brought up Kentucky because there's also a former Redbird who has just been tearing it up, and it is really hard to watch as a Redbird student that got to watch him play last year.
I pulled up the Antonio Reeves stats because I was actually going to talk about, to go against what you were saying a little bit, Dane. I think these games, yeah, as a team, it's kind of hammering out what your best lineup is. But for players, if anything, I think a lot of the players that especially aren't starters use it as an opportunity to show their worth before the games that do matter. And you look at Antonio Reeves, who leads Kentucky in points per game, or at least he did before the Michigan State battle, and he's still not starting for that team. And so maybe this is a chance for him to, you know, tell John Calipari, hey, look at how good I'm doing in these preseason, basically pre-conference season matchups. Let's see what happens when we get into these SEC games.
I don't know. I think he suits the team better as a sixth man, just a good energy coming off the bench. Can really put the ball in the hoop, and that's what you kind of need coming off the bench, especially with a team like Kentucky where they don't necessarily rotate an older rotation. It's usually the one and done situation. So I don't know if Reeves is necessarily going to get moved into the starting lineup anytime soon, but maybe if you start to see, like I said, in conference games and you start to see him ball out like that, then there might be a little bit more of an argument.
He did slow down against the Spartans. He had 22-18 in the first two games against pretty bad opponents, I would say. And then against MSU, he had only 5. So he was limited in that one. Obviously, a triple overtime win for Michigan State, I believe. So that was interesting. Or double overtime, excuse me. So to see Reeves only have 5 in that one, but he wasn't playing very much down the stretch. I think Calipari was relying more on his perennial starters.
Absolutely, yeah. And then this Redbirds team, too, they're going to lean heavily on one of their returning players in Kendall Lewis, who for a moment there led the NCAA in rebounds, which is a cool stat, especially as a forward. And yeah, this isn't a very big Redbirds team. Your biggest players are going to be your Liam McChesney's, who's like a stretch 4, stretch 5, and then your Joe Petrakis's. And those guys, McChesney's a pretty good glass cleaner and a really good physical presence inside the paint. But overall, like, having your forward being your best rebounder is something that's really reassuring and just shows good hustle and effort.
That's why it's bad to lose Abdu Jai. I mean, everyone talked about losing Antonio Reeves, but losing Abdu Jai from last year, who was a great glass presence and just a great big man for that team, is also going to be a loss for the Redbirds going into the season. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have Alex Berger join the show. We're going to talk about the NBA and the Bulls a little bit. You're listening to The Red Zone.
This is Barstool Big Cat, and you're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to the Red Zone. I'm Mikey Fernelli with Dane Dreyfuss and David Moses. And with us now is Alex Berger, as we like to call him, jokingly, Quarter Pounder, as we have Braden Fogerson in our department as well, who we already called Berger prior to us hiring Mr. Berger. So we like to call him Quarter Pounder. Because your last name is spelled just like Berger, right?
Well, it's spelled B-E-R-G-E-R.
Right.
But like people are like, people have always called it Berger just because of the G. But I'm like, you know what? Just imagine there's a J there.
Yeah.
But like, I always accept the Berger jokes. It's fun.
We've lovingly started to call him Quarter Pounder. I think that was the brainchild of Blake Bogart,
I think so.
I think he thought of that one.
What's next? What happens if we get like a younger brother, another Berger?
McDouble.
No, we just go completely off that. We just call him like Baconator or something.
Yeah. Get off the McDonald's thing.
Well, we're not sponsored by either, so maybe if someone wants to sponsor the show.
Yeah, we can start calling all our guests different kind of items from your menu. Anyway, sponsor
the show. Hi, I'm Dane Dreyfuss, a.k.a. Shamrock Shane.
We want to talk a little bit about the NBA here, as Mr. Berger has his Bulls sweatshirt on with us, and that was your thoughts that you want to talk some NBA. So, what do you think about the Chicago Bulls right now, a couple weeks into the season? Are expectations not being met so far?
I would say expectations, the past couple games, especially like these like big blowout games, like the one against the Pelicans that we just had, that was ridiculous. Like we just give up late, and there's some sort of mentality that we have to get back in that I think we're missing.
You know, I think you said it, you hit it right on the head there. We just give up late. It seems like one of the things that's different from last year, I think, is DeMar DeRozan wasn't on everybody's radars to be going in and hitting buzzer beaters back-to-back games and just be a fourth quarter closer. Now that he has that attention, who's that second guy that's going to be putting up the points in the fourth quarter? Zach LaVine hasn't been able to do that this season so far. I don't know if it's the load management with his knee or whatever it may be, but it's been a tough go.
They need to figure out. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm out on the Bulls this season. I'm already throwing in the towel. Oh yeah, they don't have they have an aging core. They don't have Zach LaVine can't stay healthy. They haven't had Lonzo Ball in what seems like two calendar years at this point. And the East is just too good. You need to have top 15, top 20 talent to win. And you're seeing the Pacers that are currently in a playoff spot, and it's like, you know what? They hit on one of their draft picks. They got Benedict Mathurin, who's been unbelievable to start the season. You've got Cleveland, who actually did something, and we're like, oh, we want to go out. We want to compete. We're going to go trade draft capital to go get a player in Donovan Mitchell, which the deal made sense for the Jazz, too, because the Jazz are competing still with a different look, and sometimes you just need a different look. But I'm ready to throw in the towel as a Bulls fan. I'd move LaVine. I would blow it up unless you can get a player of the caliber of Kevin Durant or Anthony Davis.
It's going to have to be a give and take type thing. You know, the Lakers aren't going to take anything that undervalues Anthony Davis. They're at least going to take, they're dying to get DeMar DeRozan. Let me just say that. That's his hometown. But I don't know, Dane. I don't know if I'm ready to throw in the towel just yet there. You know, if the playoffs started today, they would be a play-in team, but that's, you know, doesn't have too much credit because they're tied with the Nets, and who I expect to be a little bit better as the season goes on. I don't know what the remedy is.
No, the Nets are, they're washed too.
You think so?
They don't have, with the Kyrie mess that's going on, and Kevin Durant made a really good point on why he made his trade request. He's like, look who I'm playing with. And he was talking about, I'm playing with Nick Claxton, Joe Harris. He's playing with a bunch of scrubs, and he's like, when we lose at the end of the day, it's going to be put on me. And he's like, I don't want to deal with that. I know a friend of a friend that knows KD, so what does that make KD to me? Absolutely nothing. But KD is known in NBA circles as just a guy that loves basketball. He just wants to win. He doesn't care about the outside noise. He just wants to win, hoop every day. He would hoop 12 hours a day. And Brooklyn's just been terribly toxic for him.
I think Kevin Durant has been painted throughout his career as this type of person that they expect to be a leader, and I don't think he ever wanted that. But
no.
I don't think he was ever given a choice because he has been the second or third best player in the league for a decade.
But think about it this way. What's the root to this problem? It has to be Kyrie Irving, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen this before. Kyrie Irving has played with some of the best players in the NBA. He's played with LeBron. He's played with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and it has just not worked. He left Cleveland because he wanted to be the leader of a team. went to the Celtics. He thought he was going to be a leader. And then the emergence of Jason Tatum and that whole young core over in Boston, it did not click.
And now they're better without him now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Now he's here with the Nets, and he has just not been affected. He can't even get onto the court. So, yep. And that's for many different reasons. Every year has been, you know, something with him.
Different excuse.
Yeah, don't even get me started with Kyrie. And you know what? He's been basically asked to have the door hit him on the way out in multiple locations at a certain point. Like, say what you will about Russell Westbrook, it hasn't been an attitude thing. He might not be a best fit, but effort has never been the problem, and personality has never really been the problem with Russ. Dude just wants to hoop. And at the end of the day, these guys love basketball. Kevin Durant loves basketball. I don't blame him for having a trade request from Brooklyn, and I would love to see him in a Bulls jersey. I think he would make sense to a lot of teams. We did some mock trades. And Anthony Davis, I know he's not necessarily the player that everyone hyped him up to be, but he's still got MVP level talent. He was what won the Lakers their Mickey Mouse title. Like, LeBron played well too, but I think at the end of the day, that doesn't happen without AD.
You know, a few years back, it was an argument that Anthony Davis was the best big man in the league. He hasn't been able to get back to that. I think he would benefit tremendously being traded to the Bulls in his hometown. I'm not sure what that trade package will look like. If it's a DeRozan, I know they like Alex Caruso, but
no, they're not getting the GOAT back.
You know, well,
you let him walk already.
I don't know, Dane. When you think about it, Anthony Davis for Alex Caruso and DeMar DeRozan, that doesn't seem fair to you.
I would just do LaVine personally.
But that's the thing. No Bulls trade package can revolve LaVine. It cannot involve
the Supermax is because of the contract.
Yes. Yeah, you just signed to a five-year, $200 million deal. No team has taken it on, and the Bulls basically gave him security by doing that. And there is a dinner, I'm sure, where they said to LaVine, "Hey, we know you're being in talks with a lot of other teams, including the Lakers. They probably told him there is a year beyond this year, probably 3 years from now, where DeRozan is no longer a Bull. He may very well be retired. Caruso is no longer a Bull. Maybe Dosunmu is. I don't know. But there is another era where the Bulls will find a way to keep building around LaVine. LaVine is now the centerpiece. And I hate to say it, because LaVine is not doing well so far, but he will eventually snap out of it. And by whether or not I agree
with snap out of chronic knee injuries?
Well, whenever it doesn't matter, but whenever they, by committing to that, I'm not saying I would have done the same thing. It's not my opinion, but by committing to that 5-year, $200 million plus deal, they just said what they are committing to, that they are committing to LaVine, what happens.
I will say, there is like one player that I feel like no one ever kind of like gives a whole lot of attention to like throw into a trade, and I think that's Vooch. I think Vooch is someone you have to really take a look at. I was actually talking to my roommate before the show about, because I was saying, you know, I was going to go on the show, talk about Bulls, trades, whatnot, and I thought of an interesting trade that might be interesting. If you took Vooch, maybe Coby White, maybe Patrick. I love Patrick. He is my pride and joy of the team. But if you take Vooch, Coby White, Bam Adebayo. Like, is
no
that,
shot.
Is that
I don't want Bam. Well, I want Bam. I want Bam.
I don't want Bam.
Bam is top five, top seven center in the league.
Top five is such a stretch right now.
There's a lot of good bigs in the league.
Come on.
There's a lot of good bigs in the league, and it depends on what your definition of a big is.
Right.
But if we sat down and ranked them, you've got Jokic, Embiid. I don't even think you can put AD in that category until he plays more. Mm-hmm. I don't. And AD, to be honest, and they're two different players, and what the Bulls lack is and I know Vooch is a decent rebounder, but he's a terrible rim protector. He's supposed to be a stretch five. He is not. We bought high on him from Orlando, sold so high on him. We sent Wendell Carter, who is the perfect player that the Bulls need right now, in the pick that would turn into Franz Wagner, who looks like he can be a nice cornerstone for a team. We got fleeced in that deal. But you do have to include the fact that the Bulls got DeRozan, because DeRozan saw we got that. But I also would have sold high on DeRozan in the offseason.
You know what? I'm going to kind of play off of that. So you said that we sold Wendell Carter. And the thing is I'm playing it off of the Anthony Davis thing you were talking about earlier. The thing is when Wendell was on the Bulls, he was very similar to how Anthony Davis is now, where he was just very low production. People thought he could be good, but he was very low production.
And he's averaging 24 a game.
Well, I mean, like, what I'm saying is, like, well, like the Wendell energy, like the Anthony Davis energy, where like Wendell on Chicago, where like he's not fitting. And he had to get to like a new environment. I think Orlando suited him well. And I think he's doing well there. I don't think he would mesh with the Bulls again.
I think the same thing is true for Lauri Markkanen as well.
Easily.
Well, I think the Chicago market has no patience for young players. You're seeing it. You've seen it with the Bears in the past with players like Greg Olsen. You've seen it with the Blackhawks with Kirby Dock, Philip Deneau. I know somewhere former Red Zone host Leo Stadler is just nodding his head. Teuvo Teravainen. He probably just jumped up in joy. But then you have the Bulls that shipped off players like Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter.
I don't blame the Bulls for shipping off Lauri Markkanen, especially. Yeah. He had hit a dead end. It had been he had developed for two straight
to
years.
The fault
and then,
of who? Jim Boylan?
Guard backs and Jim Boylan, yeah.
So when Lauri was about to be traded, Thaddeus Young was on our team. He was like he was a cornerstone of our team. He was our great sixth man. You know, he could start for us. He was a great floor spreader. And the thing is Thaddeus loved to be on the Bulls, and Lauri, we asked Lauri to take a small pay cut. Now, I don't blame Lauri. If a team that's about to trade you asks you to take a pay cut, I'm going to say no. You know what I mean? But with him not taking that pay cut, we had to ship out Thaddeus's contract, and that was honestly very depressing because we were going to trade him anyway.
Oh, no, not Thaddeus Young.
No, I mean, I'm not saying he's at the production of like DeMar or any of like the top players on our team. I'm just saying like he was a lot like our Caruso. Now.
If you're fighting to keep Thaddeus Young based on a player that has hit his ceiling and is probably on the decline versus a player that hasn't even sniffed his potential yet, you should not be running an organization.
Well, it's
who hasn't sniffed their potential?
Lauri Markkanen.
But
no, I think we're seeing him. He developed for 2 years in the Bulls, and he's been a fine player since then. He's fine.
Yeah. He's been great this year with Utah, but that's because someone has to do it. And
right.
I get that.
Right. Yeah.
But I still think he's a guy.
But I think if he's on a good team now, or even the Bulls who are competing in the Eastern Conference, he still wouldn't be one of your top four or five players.
Oh no. No, I think if he was on the Bulls now, he would be benched and he would be traded again because
he'd be their starting four. He would literally be there. So who are you starting over him?
Patrick Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to. The thing is, Patrick is his potential is fantastic. I think Io is probably more promising at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with that. Definitely the most promising
because
left still.
Just like, I mean, you know, there's the Chicago heart there. There's also like the point guard talent and stuff like that. But the thing with Patrick is he could be better than Io. Like he could be this like face of Chicago, but like he's just, you know, he hasn't.
So since the 2015-2016 season, the Bulls haven't been able to crack 50 wins. It was obvious that it wasn't just the players that we had. It was we had one of the worst front offices in the league a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Guard packs was absolutely terrible. They didn't have a plan. They didn't want to invest in free agency or make any trades. We were under a terrible front office, and we didn't have great head coaches. When you talk about Fred Hoiberg, he didn't have any type of – I think he made the playoffs, what was it, once, and that was when we had Dwayne Wade.
Mm-hmm. Rajon Rondo.
And then talk about the Jim Boylan situation, who was just an absolute disaster. When we got Billy Donovan back in 2020, it changed not only the culture of the team, but it changed the team as a whole. We got players like Vooch. We got players like DeMar DeRozan in offseason. Zach LaVine started to become healthy. It's a new regime here in Chicago with the Bulls, and it's going to be interesting to see how they fare out, you know, as the season develops in.
Personally, I don't think it's time to throw in the towel yet, but it's time to throw in the towel on this segment as we're going to come in to pick six coming up here on the Red Zone.
This is Illinois State Winkers Wright, and you're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND, Redbird County. Let's fly.
Welcome back to the Red Zone, an early edition of the Pick 6 on this episode. Usually you guys don't get those picks. You have to wait the whole show. But now we're going to do it at 6:30 so we can get in some Redbird basketball to finish out the show. But first, we're going to talk about six of this week's NFL games and give you our picks, win or loss. No ties. Wouldn't that be interesting if we could pick ties in the pick six and you just get like 10 points if you somehow get it right?
I'm cool with that.
If you somehow get it right. Bold. No, I'm okay. Except some of these.
No, that would get you back into it.
Yeah, some of these could very well be ties. Yeah, I need to next week I can share the scores because I always forget to take a picture and share the scores. But it's a lot to a little for David and Steve. And then the guest and Dana right there in the middle. And then I'm still down in the dumps. I'm getting a little bit closer, a couple wins in the last 2 weeks, at least going positive.
Now that you've regained control over who you're picking.
Yeah, exactly. Once I, yeah,
NDP wasn't much better.
NDP and Jake Pearson commandeered the ship and picked against the Bucks the 1 week they won and the Bears. But let's talk a little bit now about, speaking of the Bears in Atlanta. That one's going to be on Sunday at noon. And in this one, I'm going with Justin Fields and the Bears in his home state of Georgia. Dane?
I'm not going to disagree here.
Let's go.
I'm going to ride the Bears until they decide to win. I mean, the fact that they were the first.
I was going to say until they prove you wrong. It's like last week they proved us all wrong.
Well, were they the first team in NFL history to be or to score 29 points in three straight weeks and lose all three games?
Oh, they're on a historic streak, both of losses in a row and doing so well in losses.
Yeah, and Fields rushing over 100, like putting together one of the greatest rushing seasons a quarterback's ever done.
Or, you know, rushing in general. I think over the past four games, we've averaged 250, something like that.
Top 75% of that's Fields.
No.
Yeah.
Fields has been rushing for like 150, 175.
It is a lot of Fields, especially now that Herbert's going to be hurt for the next couple games. It's a lot of Justin Fields. He's up there on lists with Gale Sayers and Walter Payton right now. Like legit.
Now it's a lot of Fields. I was saying the weeks before, we don't have time for this, but I was saying the weeks before, it was the rushing from David Montgomery, Khalil Herbert, Justin Fields
just
is a big part of
your
that.
Team.
anyway, Bears versus Falcons. I'm going to go with the Bears on this one. I'm not going to, you know, jump off of my loyal Bears.
You've been riding
trip.
Them all year.
All year.
Yep. And Berger?
Yeah, I'm going to say Bears over Falcons, 21-17. I think it's close.
Ooh, and a score.
Okay.
Interesting.
He's getting cheeky with it.
21, that's it.
No, getting the score right does not get you any more points. I wish it does. But
yeah, and not to mention, I'm fading that. That game's going to hit the over in the first quarter.
We got a lot of more games to get to, but Steve said the Falcons, of course. He always picks against the Bears.
Lonely
as a Lions fan.
Island.
And last week, he actually took the lead in pick six because he picked the Lions and the Rushers picked the Bears.
Thanks, Cairo.
Yeah. Well, and the money badger, Michael Badgley, former Bear, getting kicks done for the Lions, should have never dropped him. That's a different story. The Raiders and the Broncos. Russell Wilson finally going to try and figure it out in this week for the Broncos. We'll see what happens.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Thank you, Russ. And now we have the Raiders, of course, and just down in the dumps. Derek Carr at the press conference last week, just showing the emotion. It happens at least once a year. It just like if you had Derek Carr crying on the presser on your NFL bingo card, bingo. It happens at least every year. And I'm gonna go with Broncos country on this one. This is just a battle of two teams that had just good expectations that are just terrible.
Mid off.
Yeah.
You know, I love the emotion that I saw last week from Derek Carr.
Yeah, there's no offense to him. I love Derek Carr. Just it happens every year because it's just frustrating for him as such a good quarterback, or I think a pretty solid quarterback, to just see this happen year in and out.
You know, I never really pictured Josh McDaniels being a really good head coach in it. You know, he's proved me right so far this year. The Raiders haven't been good, but I think, you know, I'm gonna say the Raiders beat the Broncos. Broncos offense has been historically bad, and I don't see them beating the Raiders here.
I'm calling this the Clown Bowl because this game is just full of clowns, whether it be Nathaniel Hackett.
You hate Nathaniel Hackett more than the average human.
I hate every AFC West coach that isn't named Andy Reid, but it's Nathaniel Hackett. You have Josh McDaniels. You have Russell Wilson. And I'm going to clown on Devontae a little bit. Hall of Fame quarterback to Hall of Fame quarterback. Yeah, dude. Like, and Derek Carr hasn't played bad. It's just, if you look at the advanced stats, he just can't make some of the throws that the top three quarterback of all time can make. So, yeah. There you go, Devontae. Top three to top three. I'm going Broncos country. Let's ride.
Berger.
I'm going to take the Raiders in this one. I think it's going to be like, I would say like 17 to 10 Raiders.
These are low scoring games from you.
Yeah. I mean, the Broncos do have the best deal. Like, I don't mind the under there, but for some reason, my stomach is saying, like, that game's going to be a shootout. Like, the Broncos are just going to fall apart defensively, and the offense is going to come together, and then they still find a way to lose because I picked the Broncos in the pick six.
Tiebreaker from Steve Cease, the Broncos. So, meaning Steve goes with it to make it 3-2. So
that's not crazy, though.
Right, we're going to speed run a few of these because we're already up to about 7 minutes of the segment. We're two games in, and we got to make sure we have time for Andy P and Jake for basketball.
We'll go to the easy ones, then, because there's a couple of easy ones.
I like to end with the primetime ones, though, so let's finish with this one. I think this one's pretty cut and dry. Minnesota and Dallas. Personally, I think this one's a pretty easy Vikings win. Personally. At home.
I know.
Probably the best team in the NFC right now, as it stands.
No. Still the Eagles.
Yeah. The Eagles are really tricky because they have such an easy schedule. And I'm not saying the Vikings have an insanely difficult schedule, but the Eagles are probably still going to only lose like two or three games this year, and then they'll get wiped in like the first or second round of the playoffs.
I still think
I would take the NFC East over the NFC North, personally.
Yeah, because it's a little bit more competitive at this point. That's
more competitive, and the bottom's not bad either. Like the Commanders are fine, but for me personally, because we need to speed it up, I'm going to go Vikings at home here because they are frauds, and I'm going to prove that they're frauds when they cost me the pick six.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Reverse Vikings. Give me the Vikings over the Cowboys. Vikings at home in Skull City. I think it's just going to be a good game, but I think the Vikings are going to come out on top.
I'm going to say a great game from the Dallas defense. I'm going to go Cowboys.
I could see that. I could totally see that.
I thought we'd get a sweep after you guys criticized me for saying it was easy for the Vikings. But yeah, Steve also said the Vikings, and now moving on to Sunday Night Football. This game, if we talked about it preseason, I feel like everyone would have loved it, but I've always said the Chargers always have way too high expectations. But it's the Chiefs and the Chargers, and I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
We can just rip through this one, I think.
I said it a few weeks ago, Chargers and Chiefs always have really good games. I'm going to go with the Chargers on this one.
Ooh, what do you think about the Chargers at home? Is what you're thinking? And you can elaborate on that one a little bit because I thought everyone would go with the Chiefs.
Jay Herbo getting his two receivers back, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. They're gonna be flying on all cylinders this week. Chiefs, you know they gotta have one. Every year they have one of those games. It's like I shouldn't have lost that one. Patrick Mahomes throws a sloppy interception in the fourth quarter. I'm calling it right now. I just want to let you guys know.
David's not saying a score, but he's saying how the win's going to happen.
Yeah, Mahomes is going to throw it.
I'm going to go with Chiefs on this one. I was also thinking what David was saying, though. Like, I had that in consideration. I'm like, you know what? For some reason, I can see, like, the Instagram image of it, you know, where it's like, oh, Chiefs lose somehow.
Give me the Chiefs, but I'm going to call my shot here. This is not a Patrick Mahomes game. You are going to see the welcome party for Isaiah Pacheco.
Ooh.
This Chargers run defense is abysmal.
Okay.
And Isaiah Pacheco, 18 carries last game, 82 yards against a much more difficult task. He's obviously the running back one now. And Andy Reid likes to zig when all the other coaches zag. He always leaves you wondering what's coming next. Isaiah Pacheco, give me 20 carries over 100 yards and an anytime touchdown.
You want your fantasy team to do well. You really do.
I do have Isaiah Pacheco in fantasy, but I'll trade him away right now, man, to Demos and prove that he's going to do well.
Man, why would you do that if you're so confident he's going to do well? Don't actually trade him away.
Pacheco, MVP. Oh, I'm not going to trade him away because I'm playing my best friend this week.
Oh. You're not playing any of us in the red zone, so.
Exactly.
Yes, that answers it, Mikey.
Yeah.
different league.
Steve went with the Chiefs on that one. So that's a 4-1. Leaving
your best friend when Tom Brady exists.
Leaving David on the Lonely Island. Yeah, I noticed no Bucks game in this one because they're on a bye. It makes me upset. And then we have on Monday Night Football, another mid-off, in my opinion, the 49ers and the Cardinals. It's hard to call the 49ers mid at this point. They're like low good. They're like not good.
They're Jimmy Garoppolo good.
Yeah, they're like okay. Like they're better than mid, but they're like still okay. They should be better than they are.
I think Jimmy Garoppolo is the new Joe Flacco. Is he elite?
No.
Well, that's the answer wasn't either.
Yeah, I know, but there's still people ask the question anyway. Yeah. Both answers is no. I'm going to go with Garoppolo on this one. I hate saying it, but I have to go with the 49ers in this one. I don't know. We talked about this actually in class the other day, of all things, Dane. The Cardinals, I feel like there's havoc going on right now. Murray and McCoy are both questionable, so I don't know what's going to happen there.
McCoy's is a minor knee
thing. So it'll probably be McCoy.
And Kyler Murray's out with
hamstring, right?
No, Call of Duty Warzone 2.0. Yeah.
But they're calling it a hamstring, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He needs. If he said it was hands, they'd be like, oh, so you can't play Call of Duty.
Right.
And he'd be like, oh, whoa, chill.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a hamstring, guys.
I'm going to go with the 49ers. I think they might have finally figured something out with this great of a roster as they have, and I don't know. I never like to pick the away team, though, so I don't like that pick. Dane?
They're too talented to lose. Give me the Niners.
David? Yeah, I'm going to keep it short and sweet. The Niners are going to win this one.
Mr. Berger.
49ers, 33-10. I think it's insane.
And I think that's a sweep for the 49ers, as Steve also said, the 49ers on that one. So there's no movement in the standings. That's why I hate sweeps, because we either all go one down or we all go one up. And when I'm in last, that doesn't help anything.
If I had a time machine, dude, I'd be like, give me the Commanders. Yeah. Eagles don't stand a chance.
I actually took the Commanders on Monday. I changed it in my confidence pool because I was in like 10th, I think, in my pool. And I knew that if everyone had me pick the Eagles, we'd just all move up.
Heineke supremacy.
But I picked the Commanders and rooted for them hard, and it worked out. So I got third in the league. I got $20 more than I would have gotten, and that's how it works. I wish I could have that luck in pick six. As we get into Thursday night football, Titans and the Packers. And Dane, the Packers fan of the group, is going to lead us off on this one.
Well, I'm pulling a 180. I told you I was taking the Titans before, and I do have money on the Titans. I'm not changing that. Elgton Jenkins and Bakhtiari are both active tonight. Give me the Packers.
I'm taking credit for your selection because we were talking about it in the news and sports room.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know Jenkins and Bakhtiari were active.
That's true.
I got that as we were talking.
Yeah, I like the Packers in this one. I think they're going to start to heat up here. You know, they know that they don't have too much time left in the season to turn things around and fight for, you know, maybe a wild card spot. I'm going to take the Packers with this one.
I had the Packers this morning, but I actually thought about it, and I don't think Derrick Henry is going to be stopped with the and the run defense. I think it's going to be. What do you say,
Kenny Clark?
I don't think there's a way to stop him. I mean, he is obviously he's come back to earth a little tiny bit.
You cannot stop
times,
him.
But I think at the end of the day, it's hard to stop him. And I think Steve agrees with the Titans. And it's anytime I can think of an excuse to pick against the Packers, I will. I'm going to go with the Titans in this one. And again, I hate picking away teams, but I'm going to have to. I think that's twice now I've picked away teams in this one. So
country road, take Mahomes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. just nothing.
I gave Dana a look because I was like, how, this game has nothing to do with the Chiefs.
I'm going
to
go.
Well, but he's on the road and Mahomes is.
Oh.
Yeah. Thanks for the dead air and ruining my transition. Berger, what's your pick?
I wish you guys could see that.
Enough for Nelly. Go find Tom Brady on his bye week.
I think this will be a second half shootout. I think it's going to end Titans 27, Packers 23. Taking the Titans.
Okay.
I think I have the under in my same game parlay.
I did not think about that. Somebody better go check on Brady. He doesn't have football this year. I mean, this week.
What's he going to do?
He scheduled his
final divorce hearing for today.
He always skips Wednesday practice, I heard. So he doesn't know what to do this week. I don't know. Maybe he'll see his kids. Who knows? It's all. Yeah. I know there's always.
maybe he'll be. I don't even know at this point. We need to stop talking about Tom.
He's gonna be Mrs. Doubtfire.
You know what? I gotta end the segment. But I think there's still. I keep seeing that take on Twitter and stuff that the Bucks are still gonna find a way to tear through the NFC playoffs, and I think they still will. They're going to win that division with a terrible record, and then they're gonna have Daniel Jones and the Giants at home.
I saw that, and Geno Smith too.
Yeah.
Those are the teams they're gonna have to beat.
Yeah, so it's gonna be interesting for sure. Don't count, never bet against Brady. As we end the segment here, you're listening to the Red Zone.
Hey, this is Katie Weimerskirch, and you're listening to the Red Zone.
And welcome back into the Red Zone here from the WZND studio. We're about to take you guys out of Fell Hall across campus to CEFQ Arena, home of the Redbirds. Let's see if we can hear Andy P. and Jake Pearson. You guys there? Can we hear you guys?
How's it going?
Oh, there they are. Oh, I thought for a second we weren't going to have connection with you guys. How's it going?
It's going great. Great. Wonderful day. Wonderful atmosphere at CEFQ Arena.
So we just did pick six, and I was talking about how you guys ruined my pick six together a couple weeks ago.
Hey, man, you told me I could pick whoever I wanted, and I just wanted to throw you into the cellar for permanent.
All right. You know,
for permanent?
Yeah. You know what? And you roasted me, too. For saying acclimatized, so I'm gonna roast him for saying
forever. I don't know.
What does that mean?
I just want to put him in the cellar.
Well, yeah. How's it going over there in CEFQ? We can talk about pick six all day, but what's it looking like over there? Who is expected to really be a difference maker for the Redbirds today?
You know, I mean, especially for this Northwestern State, you know, demon, you know, basketball team. I think Kendall Lewis is going to be the kryptonite today, and you know, he's leading the entire MVC with rebounds right now, currently at 41. Actually, leading the NCAA with rebounds right now, up 50 points total so far this season. So, Kendall Lewis is one to look for.
Yeah, Kendall Lewis has been really, really solid for this Redbirds team. One of few returning players under Ryan Peden here, and obviously transferred over from the Dan Mueller era. How many fans are in attendance over there? Is there a decent crowd today?
There's a pretty solid crowd. Obviously, the game has not started yet, so people are still filtering in, but it's loud. Redbirds are proud, and they're ready to go.
Okay, Andy, do me a favor. Count out loud everyone in the stadium right now. Go.
So I think I asked because it is, you know, obviously the Thursday before people go home for break and stuff like that. But, you know, Dan Mueller last year talked a little bit about how it is cool to have these games before Thanksgiving break. And it's an opportunity for students to see the team in this preseason kind of run before the in-conference games. Now, we saw Northwestern State beat TCU earlier this week. What would it mean if the Redbirds can beat Northwestern State again today and have two wins against a team that beat a ranked opponent?
Well, I think it just kind of provides further legitimacy for the team. Obviously, they beat Northwestern in their last game, and they just beat a ranked opponent. So to kind of prove that, you know, transitive property, right, like they're better than TCU because they beat the team that beat TCU, I think that's just going to kind of provide further legitimacy for the team and obviously just kind of get the good vibes going here early in Coach Ryan Peden's career at the helm of the Illinois State Redbirds.
You must really be pulling out the geometry here with the transitive property. Now, give me a reference with the Pythagorean theorem. A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
Now, we're going to take a little break from you guys, actually. We're gonna turn off the mics on your guys' end, so you guys can take a quick break before the game actually starts. But we appreciate you guys joining us for a little bit here on the Red Zone, and good luck on the call.
Awesome. Thanks, Mikey.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck. So back here in the studio, we are going to say our quick goodbyes before we hand it over to Kaylee Sugimoto here in the studio for the game. But David and Dane, I want to hear, what's your guys' score predictions for tonight's game for ISU? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Give me 74 to 69 in favor of the Birds.
It's going to be a tough night out for both teams scoring. I'm going to take the Birds with the win, 65 to 62.
And I think I'm going to go with, in the last game, the Redbirds almost covered, and then there was a garbage time three-pointer. So it was 69-67 win. So I'm going to go with, let's do a little bit more high scoring. Let's go 72-68. And that's all for this edition of the Red Zone. I'm Mikey Finelli for Dane Dreyfus and David Moses. Have a great night.
Hear this and other past episodes of The Red Zone again? Download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And of course, tune into The Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.